11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Just got an email. We were drafted for the KC Current Media game.
How did that go?
Well, we just got the email.
Yeah, you know, we just told we're drafted.
Well, we were told we were drafted.
We were unable to attend last night.
Last night was the draft. You know, we decided to have our own watch party. No, we weren't able to go. But the teams are captained by Mackenzie Nelson, who we've had obviously in studio before from 41, and then Jillian Carroll Latrinko over with the KC Current Radio. So she's the other captain. Cody, you and I are on the same team.
Oh,
so
wow.
We are on the same
McKenzie
team.
McKenzie drafted us both.
So some of the other names that people have maybe had some ties to our show before. So it's Mackenzie Nelson. It's you. It's me. Nate Taylor.
Obviously. Who's coming in studio today at 11:30.
Nate Taylor is going to be on our
team. Bring McKenzie in too. We'll have the whole squad in.
It's the media team,
basically.
I don't
think anybody else name-wise have been on our show. Now, their names you guys recognize from being in town.
The fan club could be the name of the team.
But there's some of these other these people have not been on our show, but you guys might know the names just from being in the media. Dave Scretta from the AP is on our team. Neville Miller, the meteorologist over at Channel 9, is on our team.
Oh, I think he's a marathon guy. That feels great for soccer.
Taylor Burr.
Feels great for soccer.
Taylor Burr, she, I think, is the new sports reporter over at Fox 4. She's on our team. Anybody else that people would, not to be disrespectful to others, but just some of the names that are maybe bigger. That might be it. But yeah.
There you go. I mean, some of these, yeah. This will be fun.
Did you see, though, our coworker, Kristen Osero, is on the other team.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dang.
Tough.
Kristen Osero is on the other team.
Guess we're enemies in a couple weeks, mm-hmm, man. Sorry. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's on the other team.
It is what it is.
This is going to happen on July 12th, by the way. If you want to go out to the KC Current game, we'll be playing at halftime. You can watch us embarrass ourselves and be out of shape running on the soccer field.
Breathing heavy.
For about 10 minutes and be gassed. Absolutely gassed.
That's all it takes.
Yes.
Man, they've got awards, too?
Most Valuable Player gets assigned Tim Marchulinga.
MVP?
Yeah. You had to score a goal or two for that to happen.
At least one.
Yeah.
Or be just like goalie of the century.
Yeah, you'd have to get a, have a, yeah, you'd, ha, you'd
I
have
I still have those goalie gloves that guy gave us.
I don't know who on our team.
The one time I played goalie
based on
and tried to injure people.
Based on the Sporting KC media game from last time, I think there's a chance, I don't want to speak for him, but Marcus Officer over at Fox 4, my guess is he might be our goalie. I think he liked being goalie last time.
That's fine.
So we might already have a goalie figured out.
I just bring the gloves for whoever needs them, you know?
Yeah.
Cody, given your our competitive nature, are you going to go all in for this award? I feel like you,
I just,
more so than gold, you are going to go 10 toes down to get this MVP.
I'll say, I've tried to work on it as time has gone on.
Cody's going to slide tackle somebody.
Oh, yeah.
I've tried to work on it as time has gone on. But toning down...
You want that MVP.
Toning down the competitiveness has not been a strength of mine in life and certainly has not been a strength of mine in these media games.
It's like an all-star game.
You're going to go for it.
I get the feeling.
The one time I played goalie, I like went for the ball so hard that someone had to flip over me after running into my ribs in a near-injured accident. In the very first ever Sporting KC media game I played in which they used to do small three-on-three small nets at the training facility.
Yeah.
I tackled the employee of theirs who played Division I soccer at Maryland because I was going too hard. She was just trying to like play it cool, and I was going too hard. She, the Division I soccer player, wasn't trying to take it that serious.
Also, some other details. Yeah, the referee. Tough. Care to guess who the referee is?
It was Tech 9 one time.
For the media game. Care to guess?
The Tech 9 again?
Sudeikis.
That's too big. That would have been
Although we did get Tech 9 once.
No, the media game referee is former Chiefs quarterback, Trent Green.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Trent Green will be reffing the media game.
There you go.
And there is a Tuesday practice. It's during our show, though. I don't think we're made. Tuesday from 1
practice?
To 5, there's a practice. It's not mandatory. Our team captain's not going to be happy with us. I will not be making the 1 to 5 practice.
Could you make it 2:30 to 5? Could you make part of training?
I could. You know, if you want to win MVP, you might want to be able to practice.
Training is important. You can't. You know.
I think McKenzie would be really. That also is another good reason to get her on the show. If you guys don't go to practice, you skip practice.
She can call
in.
Especially
going to let me leave the show an hour early to go to training.
She can call in and yell at us for not being at practice.
That's understandable, but not showing up from 3 to 5, I think, is something that, you know, if you're about that, then I feel like I'd be a little bit disappointed.
Yeah. Oh, Drew, you should have been in this thing as well. Neither one of you were in the Sporting KC one a month or so ago. So this is the second one of the year.
I was still recovering.
This will be the second KC current one I've been participating in. So looking forward to that. July 12th, we'll have some fun trash talk with that. But we're on the same team. It would have been, if we were on different teams, then we would have had to make a little wager or something. But we're on the same team.
We've been on different teams before.
We have, yes.
You know, so we'll see how it goes. Trent Green.
The text line's encouraging you to go after the MVP because you're never going to win a hot dog race.
Can I get MVP for where most players hurt on the other team?
Most players hurt.
That's probably not
opening up the field for us. They don't. I'll just be honest with you. Playing a lot of these media games, and one thing I don't think I've seen anyone take advantage of. Never seen anyone place a yellow or red card.
Cody's
you
bound
can do
to
whatever
get a red
the
card.
Hell
Cody's
you want.
Cody's going for a red card.
You could do. There is no red card. You I can do whatever the hell I want. I've never seen the guest referee actually flash.
This requires
one of those.
You to.
You think Trent Green's going to actually red
if
card me?
If you take someone out, and
I
hurt
dare
them
you, Trent.
Get,
red card. Fine.
This requires you to be able to run constantly towards the action, Cody, and get to the person with the ball to actually have that. Unless you're just randomly going up to people and shoving them to the ground.
If you take someone
weird.
Out to actually
very
hurt
weird.
Them, you should be given a red card and booed out of the stadium.
Booed?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to get booed? I'm just like disallowed from ever being back. At-
yeah, let's get the fan, the support section to just, when they say Cody's name, and to boo you and when they announce your name. That'd be fun.
Man, that would be tough. Please don't do that.
That would be very
God,
rough
that
for you.
Would be tough.
Someone is asking if somebody is on our team. Is Chad Smith on our team? Let me see.
Is he really good?
Yeah, is this a good thing if he's on our team or a bad thing? He is not on our team. He's from the KC Soccer Journal. He is on the opponent.
Is he really good or something?
I mean, I don't know.
I mean, if
I'm
he's
not sure.
I don't think they're asking
Journal,
because
they
he's
have
really
one,
bad.
They yeah. Have, yeah, I think they have one more player than us, maybe. I'm not sure. Doesn't really matter.
This person might be saying this guy's about to take over. It's going to be you versus him, Cody. It's going to be you versus Chad for MVP.
Is that the person I need to hurt? I'm asking, is that the player that I need to take out?
I don't think you should be doing
you,
that.
You should just
Oh, I've met Chad.
Tackle.
Chad's really nice. I've met him in a couple of other media games. I apologize.
I love how you're like, oh.
Chad is really nice, and he actually is good at soccer.
The good news is.
He was on our team in the last media game we won. He seems to like know about spacing and distance and passing. Mm.
We are on a Fisher. The team is called Team Heartland against Team Storm. Okay.
Hey. We're Team Heartland?
We are Team Heartland.
That's unfortunate. Team Storm's kind of a more badass name.
Yeah. I'm not sure which jersey. I'm not sure which.
Though.
I don't know which jersey we get. I don't know if we're getting the teal, if we're getting the white unis, the red. I have no idea. We'll find that out Saturday the 12th. So anyway, thanks to Casey Current for inviting us to be part of this. And it was fun. We got drafted last night, I guess. And we're on the same team. So there you go.
Good luck to Team Heartland.
That's
thanks,
right.
McKenzie, for drafting us. You
That's
know?
Right. If you guys want to go to the game, hit us up, though. Hit us up. We'll hopefully have you guys join us. There's some tickets out there that you can purchase.
And ideally,
we mainly you can
last.
Watch the KC Current, most importantly.
Yeah, we got to find out if we were picked last or not.
I don't know if that Excel sheet is draft order
did,
or
did not.
Did
not give the full results?
Because if it's draft
Let's
order,
text McKenzie.
If it's draft order, you were picked how many spots ahead of me?
I was picked fourth overall, which is far too high.
Well, on our team. On our team.
Yeah. You were picked second on the team.
I was a top 10 pick. Based
I
on
don't know. But based on this, you and Nate... Let's see, it would have been 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, you would have been 4 spots higher. We'll see.
You, me, and Nate would have been all picked in pretty
so
close
know,
succession.
I don't know. I text McKenzie just to upset
High
Cody. Tell her that
then.
Cody was picked last, just to upset Cody.
I'm going to ask her.
Tell her to say he was picked last. Can you hear me saying that? Oh, whoops. Whoops. You should go to have her send the text. Make that happen.
Don't say I was picked last. I mean, that'll hurt my feelings.
All right, we'll get to the trash of the day. Here
just
in about 9 minutes or so. But Roger Goodell is already hinting at potentially some changes that maybe don't hurt the Chiefs as much as it would some other teams. And that has to do with the idea of void years and dead cap years that a lot of teams, including the Eagles, most importantly, have been utilizing to their favor. Roger Goodell, I guess, not a big fan of this.
No, and I think what's interesting about it is he understands that it's going to be a point of contention in the new CBA because all the owners don't agree on it. The players don't actually fundamentally care. They're paid. The guarantees are paid, and a lot of times it means they get more money up front. But the owners, the poor owners, don't like, because essentially this has turned into, we talk about this all the time in the NFL, competitive balance, look how even the league is. This is an owner competitive advantage. If you have more money to put more money towards signing bonuses up front, you can finagle this contract 4 or 5 years out as much as you possibly want. It's just about cash in hand, cash up front. It's not about a skill set or drafting or developing or doing anything football-wise. It is just do you have a big bag of cash? And if you have a big bag of cash, are you willing to spend it in order to give your general manager flexibility in the cap? The fact that he's already mentioning this 12 months out means to me that enough owners have complained to him that they don't want to do this. Great news for Kansas City, I'll say. They are the smallest, one of the smallest defenders of this thing. Biggest defenders, Philadelphia Eagles, Buffalo Bills, New Orleans Saints, and a few others who have been abusing this for years. I'd love if they got rid of this because to me, it's not.
I don't have as big of an issue with it. I think this is one of those things like if the Chiefs were doing it for a while and it helped them win, I don't think people would care as much here. The Eagles do it, so it annoys people in Kansas City. I don't have as big of a problem with the voidier thing.
I just think
it's not like they're doing, you know,
they're not doing anything of skill. They're just like, it's just money.
Yeah, but like, part of an organization, though, is balancing the cap and managing the cap. And we all know it can get you in trouble if you don't do it. They're not doing anything incorrect.
No, they're not breaking the rules.
This is not like Shohei Ohtani and the Dodgers, which they're not breaking the rules either. They're not, the Eagles are not deferring $50 million.
No, but it's the same concept. Just baseball can do it worse.
Yeah.
This is as bad as you can get away with.
On a small scale.
But I just don't like that. I don't like anything in sports where it's just, and this is the NBA, like every sport has it. But the NFL prides itself on we're the league of equality. Everything is equal and anyone
can
do
it if they want.
And everything is in the, but they can't because every owner doesn't have the cash up front that some of these other owners do.
No, some choose just not to do it. You know what I mean?
Like, but I mean, that's like the baseball argument. Like John Sherman could pay Shohei Ohtani $50 million in 2050,
we're talking about deferring like 10 to 15 max in the Eagles case over this. Like the Eagles are not deferring 70 million.
I think it's like 50 or 60 when you talk about all their contracts.
Maybe. But if it's over 5 or 10 players, that's not a crazy thing to do. Roger Goodell gets rid of it, fine. It doesn't hurt what the Chiefs have been doing to your point. But I'm not like, oh my gosh, this needs to be fixed and the loophole needs to be closed.
Why not just close
it? But it definitely doesn't hurt the Chiefs because they have not really utilized it to this point. We'll see if they have to in the near future.
I think for the one sake that is, you are the one league that prides yourself on anybody can win, all things are equal. This is because like in the NBA, you can outspend and just pay the luxury tax. And the Major League Baseball is a complete joke in the monetary department and the resources put outside of it. So like all the other sports have loopholes, kind of like the NFL does here.
Yeah. Most importantly, the NFL has a salary cap. Yes.
And people love that because then it creates the idea that like anybody could turn it around at any time.
Mm. Yep.
And I think the more loopholes that you allow these teams to do, then, you know, you kind of create it. It's a small thing, but I do think that it kind of matters a little bit. Before we get to Trash of the Day, should we do a little July all 32?
Yes, we don't do this very often in July, but I'm excited we got it. I want to take us towards the future a little bit, towards this season, towards an award market like the MVP. And this is all a conversation about value, most importantly. Baker Mayfield right now is 40-1. To win NFL MVP. Last season, I want to remind you, 4,500 yards, 41 touchdowns. Now, he lost his offensive coordinator. Liam Cohen is now the head coach, Mr. Duval, down in Jacksonville. So you could say, hey, that's a concern. But at 40-1, a player that I know just last season with virtually the same weapons, Bucky Irvin.
Actually got one better weapon.
Mike Evans, McMillan. Chris Godwin, they add Egbuka, the rookie out of Ohio State, who's not a bad third wide receiver for your football team. McMillan came on strong. They've won the NFC South in 4 straight years, so part of the criteria that we've always talked about to win MVP, at bare minimum, you got to win your division. Check that box. I think that's going to happen again in the NFC South for the Tampa Bay Bucks. They just extended their head coach and general manager. I think Baker Mayfield, value-wise, is a good bet at 40-1. We could be sitting here if he's pacing for these same numbers, and it's the middle of the season, all of a sudden he might be 6-1, and you can set yourself up with a great hedge opportunity. Josh Allen, Mahomes, Lamar, these guys are going to all have, and Burrow are going to all have great odds throughout the whole year. But Baker Mayfield, the 40-1 could get cut in half very quickly. So I'm just saying, all 32 look at Baker Mayfield 40-1 to win MVP.
Okay, I don't hate it. I mean, based on the weapons alone, you would think it'd be interesting. Their question is, how good can they take it? I was looking at yesterday, somebody had sent out a full roster list of what the Miami Dolphins have put together on paper for their upcoming offensive roster. And it's nothing short of a joke. It's the all-injured team. It's the all-injured or all-bad team. They're either hurt and don't play, or when they do play, aren't good at football. The only exception to being that Tyreek Hill, who I don't even think, is going to make it through the entire calendar year as a member of the Miami Dolphins. So for a guy like that, I'm convinced Miami's general manager, not their head coach, their general manager wants Arch Manning or Nussmeier, whoever the hell's going to go first overall.
I'm saying, we don't even because know if Arch Manning's their, coming out. But yeah.
I think that they are they're sucking for luck. Okay. I think that they are positioning themselves because they went all in three years in a row, could no longer afford to do it anymore, and have positioned themselves to stink. And stink pretty badly, I think, based
then
on
why
they're.
Did they?
I think they're a 4-win team in the upcoming season, and they want Arch Manning or one of these other great quarterbacks.
So, look, I don't think they're going to be that good this year either. But in terms of like the tank idea, then why did they even trade for Minkah Fitzpatrick in that trade? Why didn't they say, give us draft picks and say, we don't want Minkah Fitzpatrick? Why even trade for Minkah Fitzpatrick?
You know, that's a two-way deal thing. Maybe Pittsburgh wasn't willing to give up the pick. I don't know. Maybe Minkah also wanted out.
Contract-wise, by the way, Tua,
that's not going to save him.
Next year has a $56 million cap hit, $34 million in dead cap, thinking of dead cap and void years and stuff like that. If you were just wondering.
Oh, great. One more year of Tua as a starter while you get the rookie together,
yeah,
I guess.
$53 million in 2027, $65 million in 2028. But again, dead cap, $34 million they can get out of it after next season. I don't think they're going to be that good either. I feel like McDaniel's definitely going to be on the hot seat heading into this season. I don't know if necessarily they're going to be in position to get the number one, number two.
I think Tyreek Hill's going to be like a Seahawk in week 9.
He could get traded midseason. I just don't know if the Dolphins, as bad as they might be, to me, they're not number one, number two overall pick bad. They're going to have like the 8th pick in the draft, 7th pick in the draft kind of thing.
Well, it's a good draft for that because there's a lot of quarterbacks that people consider in the same range.
I mean, like the Tennessee Titans still might have a top 3 pick this year, even with after drafting Cam Ward. They're going to be terrible again. Like Tennessee might have a top 3 pick. You have to be Tennessee bad, you know, Cleveland bad. I don't know how many wins you think the Dolphins get to. If the Dolphins win 6 or 7, they're probably not a top 3 pick.
I think they're 4 or 5. Yeah. I think they're going to stink. Stink. They got nobody on defense. They got nobody on offense.
They have too many.
They're the all-injured team. Two of mine not even get through the season.
It's definitely the all-injured team. But, like, again, to be bad enough to get the number one overall pick, I don't think so. Tua, Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, and Devin Achane.
There's
too many weapons there for them to be a 3-win team, you know?
Their win total, by the way, that's my favorite under of the year.
Which was
7.5?
8.5.
Oh.
Yeah, I like the under there. But, again, they could be a 7-win team. That's not going to even get them a top 6 pick.
Sure.
I don't know. It's interesting for sure. Keep an eye on the Dolphins. What do you got, Drew?
You guys might not like this. The text line might not like this.
Oh boy!
But
here we go.
You could have talked about any
correct
32 teams.
You guys can blame Binkley for this because Bink sent me something late last night, and it was a tweet from Warren Sharp that proves, along with one other thing, how ridiculous Joe Burrow is actually and what he's doing. Joe Burrow has been blitzed at the number one lowest rate of any QB in the last 4 seasons. However, he's been hit as well in 2.5 seconds, within 2.5 seconds of the snap at the number one highest rate. Also,
it sounds like a baseball stat.
He's been hit within 2.5 seconds, 25% more than the second most quarterback hit in the NFL. All amidst this, boys, Joe Burrow, when it comes to facing pressure.
Okay.
Compared to other quarterbacks. I will give you the numbers for the other guys in a second.
There's a lot of
but
numbers.
When his rating when he's not pressured is 104.9. When he is pressured, it's 95.1. Not a single quarterback is even close to that when they're pressured. Patrick Mahomes, for reference, goes from 99.7 to 61.3. CJ Stroud goes from 93.7 to 66.4. Jared Goff goes from 121.6 to 76.4.
What a start.
Lamar Jackson goes from 127.5 to 92.7.
Is this just this last year?
Yes.
I believe so, yes. But it makes what Joe Burrow is doing, even amidst the wide receiver core, that much more ridiculous.
Say it a million times. Joe Burrow is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL.
I have him
number 3. I mean, I don't know what we're really trying to prove here. I would also say, yes, Jamar Chase and T. Higgins is the difference between all the quarterbacks that you are making.
Josh Allen goes from 109.3 to 71.2.
But what does it say? Is it better? Like, but I guess here's the thing.
And amidst that pressure rate, Joe Burrow is better under pressure when he's also pressured basically double the amount of anybody else.
Again, this is setting
maybe
the stage.
He's better at it?
It's setting the stage for what I've said 100 times about the season. Poor Joe Burrow. If he just only had a defense, this team would win a Super Bowl.
This has nothing to do with defense.
The conversation absolutely has to do it because otherwise, what's the point? What's the point? Nobody's saying Joe Burrow sucks. What's the point to try to make a case that he's the best quarterback in the NFL, which is ludicrous?
He's unequivocally better than Josh Allen is. Unequivocally.
He's not, but yeah.
I just don't.
So is Lamar Jackson, by the way. Lamar Jackson should have won MVP last year. Josh Allen had no business winning it.
I agree on the Lamar Jackson should have won MVP, but I also have...
That's the only thing Josh Allen has to his name.
Do you have those pressure stats for the playoffs the last 2 years for Burrow? Can you give me those?
No, this is for last season entirely, which doesn't include the playoffs, but I'm sure it would have been the exact same and he would have been just as good.
Look, the stat would mean more to me if Joe Burrow is just statistically better under pressure every year versus just like maybe this 1 year he was, you know?
The stat doesn't say whether it was the entirety of last year or not, but the last 4 years he's been pressured than no other quarterback in the league, and his accuracy is just as is the best in the league based on what last season had.
He's awesome. Nobody's disputing.
So I think what he's been able to do, it shows that he's even more ridiculous than what people actually think he is based on those two
I think he's probably
numbers
underrated.
Combined.
If this was a conversation
like he's underrated. He's not underrated. Joe Burrow is not underrated if you think he's a number three quarterback in the NFL.
I think there's a lot more people that hate Joe Burrow than you guys think that would not put him in the top five. There's that would be wrong.
He's clearly a top five quarterback. But like trying to like little by little make a case that he's like is as good as every other quarterback in the league, I disagree. He's not any better than Allen or Mahomes. Sorry.
He's better than Josh Allen's never beat him. So if we're gonna we can also throw that argument in it. Not only has Josh Allen never been to a Super Bowl,
Joe Burrow's never beat Deshaun Watson. We're not comparing they're better. He's never beaten the Browns at home.
No, but in terms of... hang on a second. But in terms of the GOAT argument, everybody talks about Brady beating Mahomes, where I don't think that's a factor in it. I think that absolutely equates to who's
the better quarterback. If there's a GOAT argument, but nobody's having a real conversation that Joe Burrow is better than Mahomes, and I don't think there should be a real one that he's better than Josh Allen.
Then I think that the quarterback wins thing is way overblown.
Of course it is.
And we need to not look at it when debating GOAT as well. I think.
Well, for the GOAT, you're going through a fight. You know, you're looking at that very
there's
closely.
There's so many more factors. Where you know, the same excuse I can make for Joe Burrow, the same excuse I would make for Patrick Mahomes. The offensive line stunk, and you know, I think you could say that's an excuse, but
they made it to the Super Bowl.
And they got waxed where Joe Burrow had an offensive line that was garbage and they were one play away from winning.
Again, you don't get punished for going to Super Bowl, especially when you've won them and you get your ass kicked and get more credit for not making the playoffs. That's an absolutely crazy scenario.
But I think that Joe Burrow, the fact that he made
it
to a Super Bowl and beat the Chiefs amidst doing it with that offensive line is actually more impressive.
Than winning a Super Bowl?
If he would... It's more impressive than just getting there and then stinking like Patrick Mahomes
because
the offensive line was bad.
It's just not. Like, it's not. Winning an AFC title, it's not more impressive.
And I guess, Drew, like, the problem is, like, with
he also
that.
Also outplayed Mahomes in that game, by the way, they went to the Super Bowl in.
I'm not saying last year he wasn't great under pressure. He absolutely was. There's no argument. But, like, it's 1 year. The year before, he was 19th amongst quarterbacks and quarterback rating under pressure. So, like, did last year, was Joe Burrow really great under pressure and had a great year? Yes. The year before, he was 19th.
This is also the year that he was fully healthy, where the year before he was hurt. So that doesn't help.
But that's
part of... Well, now you're going to make me look up 2022. I got to keep going back.
But again, that's part of the conversation about quarterbacks throughout their careers. Were they healthy? Were they available? Were they not?
Yeah,
it dictates a lot of guys' career. Right. Absolutely they do. But, like, we can't say, well, he was hurt. It doesn't count. That's part of how you look at quarterbacks and their success and their careers. Like, were they available for you or not? There's a long list of quarterbacks and players in sports. You know this. Like, that they just couldn't stay healthy, and it changes how we view them.
I'm just ready for them to make the playoffs again so everybody on the text line can shut up about how bad the Bengals are. I cannot wait.
In 2022, just so you know.
You brought it upon yourself today, man.
I cannot wait.
In 2022, just so you know, he was sixth, which is very good. Patrick Mahomes was second and Tua was first. Jimmy Garoppolo was third. I'm not so sure I even care about quarterback rating under pressure anymore after just 2022 alone. It's like, it's fine. Like, Joe Burrow's one of the five best quarterbacks in the league. I think he's
no
fourth.
Doubt. No doubt. I have him third. He's really, really good. Anyway, we didn't get to trash of the day because that turned
into... Can we do it with Nate here?
It did not turn into trash of the day.
It might have been trash of the day.
It might have been trash of the day.
Nate Taylor going to join us in studio, our Chiefs insider, next.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
It is time for the Chiefs Red Half Hour.
Brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Check them out at allweatherdeck.net.
We got our guy Nate Taylor in studio, our Chiefs insider from The Athletic. It's been, I feel like it's been a while. Maybe it has. It feels like it's been a bit since we had you in. Obviously, now we're in that
sure,
you know, kind of dead period until we get to training camp. But we can get to Trey Smith and stuff in a second. But how's life for you? Things good? We got the tennis on for you.
Yes,
I know
hallelujah.
This is right in the middle of your tennis watching, so we do have that on the television in here in case you need it.
Yes, hallelujah. It's going great for me. You know, Noah, our son, is, you know, 10 weeks. So
10 weeks.
I'm just a couple weeks away from going back to work, lining up, you know, perfectly with training camp starting in a couple weeks as well.
Really good timing.
It was very good timing. She got me out of the draft. all praise to Holly. Got me out of the draft. You know, didn't have to do much of the OTAs. But the tennis has been I guess fun, although like everyone of name recognition is lost.
Yeah, Coco Gauff yesterday, right?
He's on the TV at the moment.
Yeah, he'll be fine. Like he and Djokovic are like in a different class.
He's already up two sets.
Yeah, I guess you can include Jannik Sinner in that, although I don't love him on grass. And Aryna Sabalenka's probably going to win the women's tournament because she's excellent as the number one player in the world. But yeah, a lot of upsets. Been watching tennis, trying to get my oldest son, Hayden, more and more into the sport, which has been very fun. Watching the Royals plummet. It's great. It's awesome.
You were at Wimbledon last year, right?
I was.
So it's been a year since you were there?
Yeah. I think we did it I think we were there technically. I'd have to look on my phone. But I think we were technically there July 4th and 5th last year. So it was kind of around this time, second round. It was day two of second round, first day of third round. It was amazing. So I would recommend anybody, it's not even really if you love tennis, obviously it's the most, you know, prestigious, gorgeous, sort of perfect tournament there is. But even if you're a casual tennis fan, I would still recommend you go because it's in London. So you have plenty of things to do in the city as well. But then when you get out to Wimbledon Park, I mean, the food is amazing. There's celebrities kind of everywhere. The hospitality is great. They have, you know, I wasn't super duper into Pimm's, but I go to Wimbledon and I'm
drinking Pimm's cups every day.
Pimm cups are amazingly good all of a sudden. The weather's nice, you know, so it's not I guess what it was 2 days ago was super duper hot, but usually it's in the 70s, maybe low 80s. So very comfortable, breezy weather. You can go from court to court. You can see, I try to explain this to people, especially when it comes to the Chiefs, the closest you can get to guys is training camp, where you can actually see them do their job. You can get, you know, eye to eye contact. You can get an autograph for, you know, your son or your daughter. I remember last year how cool it was for Travis to throw his gloves to the little girl who just happened to have a Taylor Swift poster in the crowd. But at Wimbledon, I watched Chris Eubanks play a doubles match, and then I talked to him after the match 5 minutes later. And it's amazing, the amount of access you can have to these players. You know, we saw I'm trying to remember now, you know, we saw Emirana Kanu last year, and obviously she's one of the biggest stars over there in Great Britain, former US Open champion. We saw Coco Gauff, where we were just I can reach out and almost touch her. You can get very, very close to tennis players, kind of the same way of basketball players. But I told Hayden at some point I'll take him to Wimbledon, because it's just such a great tournament. And dog, I don't think they ever I'm almost jaded now, because strawberries on its own are great. I don't know what they have their own strawberry farm where they grow strawberries for an entire year just for these 2 weeks.
Huh.
And then they put the cream on it, and you're well, this can't be that good. This, you know, as an American, I'm like, yeah, I've heard about, you know, strawberries and cream all my life. Yeah, I get it. You know, little tea time, little strawberries and cream, sure. But it's it can't be that good. And then you take one bite and you're like, oh my God, these are the greatest strawberries I've ever had. So there's a whole process that they tell you about, how they get, you know, the strawberries to be absolutely pristine for Wimbledon. And so, yeah, it's a great event. I know Patrick was there last year. A lot of people were like, can you expense this now?
Get an interview with him and you can.
Yeah, because he was like, because he was there for the Alcaraz Tiafoe match last year. And so, like, we just, like, me and Holly missed Patrick and Brittany by, like, I think a day. And so it was fun to be like, well, this is a work trip now. You just go out and try to do some reporting out of it. But excellent event. I also love the U.S. Open, too. But I just love the extremes of it. There's nothing like, hey, you know, back in the day when we were in the 90s, we used to watch football players play on, you know, the occasional baseball field in like San Diego and Miami. And it's like, oh, they do that in like September, early October. There's nothing crazier than being like, yeah, we're going to play tennis on grass and then forget that. We're going to do hard court and then forget that. We're going to do, clay. And Wimbledon's like the most, you know, somewhat traditional, prestigious, like everything's classy. And the U.S. Open's like, man, forget all that. We about big noises, fireworks, you know, celebrities. We'll play at 2 a.m. We don't care. So, like, tennis goes wildly in different directions so much. But, yeah, I'm dying to go back. And I really want Carlos Alcaraz to win again because he's the most dynamic player in the sport.
Let's talk a little bit about the Chiefs. One of the things we're going to talk about maybe is Chris Jones, but Alex and I decided months and months and months ago we weren't going to worry or talk about or even bring up Trey Smith until the calendar turned to July.
Correct.
A normal amount of time to enter the conversation.
It was so fun to be in the car yesterday and hear I was like, yep, I told the fellas it is July 1st.
So July 1st, now July 2nd.
Yep.
What's the scoop? We were 2 weeks out yesterday. We're now 13 days out from the Trey Smith thing now. We still think it's a big deal for it to make sense that you trade Joe Tooney to get the deal done with Trey Smith.
Right.
It feels like it's been crickets. I feel like I heard more on the Chris Jones front a couple of years back on this than what I've heard so far to this point. At least there was some smoke.
Yeah.
There was some conversation, some national stuff. You know.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. That's a great point. I hadn't put it in that context. Cause that was like the 2020 year, I believe. They just come off the first Super Bowl victory. Chris has sort of established himself as like the number two guy behind Aaron Donald. And yeah, there was real traction, movement, whatever you want to describe it as, in like the week before he signed, where I'll always remember this. Ladies and gentlemen, we try really hard to do our job well. I cannot predict things as well as I wish I could, but that was one of the few times where I was like, hey, based on the numbers, based on our hearing, and I remember writing this in The Athletic, and I think it was in like a mailbag piece, and I was like, well, if I had to guess right now, it would probably be a 4-year, $80 million deal. Guess what, kids? It was a 4-year, $80 million deal. So that was a little easier to project and to understand where it's going. This is tricky because the franchise tag has ballooned so much. And I know you guys talked about it yesterday, about the fact that Trey being a 6th-round pick, not making sizable money, not making like true NFL starter money. He's basically had to be an overachiever since he's come into the league. Yeah, I could see why he might want to squeeze every penny possible. And I'm still under the belief and under the knowledge that he wants a 4-year deal where you can get out of it after 3 years, entering the final year of your deal.
And
you can
still be 30.
Yeah, you still be under 30 and still get another long-term contract if everything goes according to plan. The Chiefs, of course, knowing, and we talked about this too, knowing that Trent McDuffie, what do you do with George Karloftis? You still have the 5th-year option with Xavier Worthy. This season will kind of tell what you do with Rashee Rice, but that's a tricky situation. He's a 2nd-round pick, so he doesn't have the 5th-year option. You can kind of see all those things through. I honestly think it might come down more to years and do the Chiefs, in an understandable nature sort of give in to the years, understanding that Trey Smith is so important to what they have going on, that you can't really you can't run the risk of missing the deadline, not agreeing to something, even though this thing has pretty much been agreed to since I want to say early March. Like, this is before free agency started. This is right after the combine.
And he signed the tag quick too.
He signed the tag within less than a week.
I just figured he doesn't mind playing for that amount of money.
Yeah.
Some guys hate playing for the tag. I don't know. Why would he mind it?
I heard you say that, and I was like, but you have to, we also have to advise Trey that like this is a 100% injury sport. Like you will, like the likelihood of you getting injured is a lot higher than basketball, baseball, hockey. Like it's just, it's such a demanding sport on your body that like, yes, it's nice to get a really good payday, but I don't know, man. I would advise you still to try to like negotiate as best you can. You might want to take it to like the 11th hour at, you know, 3 o'clock on, I'm just, you know, hypothetically saying on like July 14th or whatever. I've always said, and I'm still under the belief that like, get through this weekend, have a nice 4th of July, make the calls, guys, do what you need to do on the 7th, 8th, 9th, whatever. And, you know, both sides should understand that it's better to be together than to create friction, to create animosity, to create an issue where, hey, in a lot of ways, and I can speak for Trey on this, in a lot of ways, it's hard to explain to Trey. Well, like, I just played through my rookie contract. You just gave, you know, my buddy, my best friend, Creed Humphrey, like, a market-setting deal a year before his contract was up because we were going to stagger this for your salary cap purposes, right? I just saw Nick Bolton get paid a nice amount of money. I'm protecting the franchise quarterback, and I'm just as good, many will argue, better at my position perspective, respectively, compared to his position. And you didn't even let me get to the open market, right? So I can't even see what my maximum value is if...
Which was smart business by then, by the way.
Of course. So I can't even see what my maximum value is on the open market. And so you've restricted me in this standpoint, and you've told me for months that I'm really important and I'm part of, you know, this, you know, whatever this next phase is of the Mahomes era. To go against all that, man, these are human beings too. So I just wouldn't, for both sides, I would say you all need to like take a deep breath. If it's the highest paid deal for a guard, well, he was the next guy up, and that's usually how this works.
Looking at, as we're talking with Nate Taylor from The Athletic, our Chiefs insider joining us in studio, looking at kind of how you laid it out there with both the Chiefs and Trey Smith's side, I feel like both, you know, he wants to be here. They yes. understand his, like this does, yes. this is, I feel like it's going to get done. I just like, is it going to be the final day and 4 hours before, or is it going to be 2 or 3 days before, I guess, to me is more the question. I would honestly be pretty shocked if he's at training camp and only on a franchise tag, and we're talking about this into next offseason, whether or not he's getting a long-term deal.
Right. And again, I've reported this before free agency, like Clark Hunt didn't want to use a franchise tag. Now it became more viable because the salary cap went up more than the Chiefs were projected. Right. So they had the means to do it once they traded Joe Tooney. So Clark Hunt doesn't totally love using the franchise tag. He hates trading away first round picks, right? That's kind of been his borderline philosophy. So if you understood that, and you know Landon Dickerson right now is making $21 million a year, $50 million guaranteed. I'm looking at the contracts right now. Now he's a left guard compared to a right guard, but this is potatoes at this point. If I'm Trey Smith, like, The year annual average starts at $23 million. That's what you signed up for when you
I agree.
When you enacted the franchise tag. So now it comes back to, well, what are the total guarantees? Chris Lindstrom, in terms of fully guaranteed, got $48 million. So again, how do you spread this out? Yes, it would be helpful if it's a 5-year deal to spread out. And again, I'm just spitballing, ladies and gentlemen. $54 million fully guaranteed. It would be a lot easier to do that over a 5-year deal than a 4-year deal.
Sure.
But I'm telling you right now, $23 million a year to start, which will be two more than Landon Dickerson. And I need a couple more fully guaranteed. So like let's go $54 million fully guaranteed. The total guarantees can maybe be a little bit lower. if you do a 4-year deal, now the full guarantees will be a little bit higher if you do a 5-year deal. So again, I don't want to get too deep into the nitty-gritty, but just for context purposes, right? I mean, Quentin Nelson got $41 million fully guaranteed, and he was excellent. Well, he's 29 years old right now, guys. Trey Smith is 26, and he's excellent. He's a Pro Bowler, perennial, like on the cusp of being an All-Pro if he continues to improve. So I'm just looking at it like 52, 54, fully guaranteed. And if he doesn't want to give up the fifth year, I'm sorry. You kind of put yourself in this corner by franchise tagging him.
One thing Cody and I stumbled on, we led the show with it today. We were looking at some numbers, both for Trey Smith, but also like what TJ Watt might get. And so we were looking at Chris Jones's deal.
Buddy.
So like we were looking at There's Chris Jones. And Chris Jones is going to be 31 tomorrow, actually.
Uh-huh.
He turns 31 tomorrow. And this year, he's cap hit $23.6 million. We know he signed the new deal, 5 years, $158 million.
Mm-hmm.
And none of us ever expect him to play on the 2028 number of 44.8. But then we were looking, we're like, next year, not this mm-hmm. year, next year, when he's 32, the cap hit is $44.8 million. Dead cap is $19.5. What do you think the plan is? Is he really, we were looking this up, other than about 8 quarterbacks, he would have the largest.
And Tyreek Hill.
He would have the largest cap hit in 2026. The Chiefs might have a new deal done with Trey Smith. They might need to get a deal done with McDuffie. They might need to redo a deal with Mahomes. What do you think happens with this Chris Jones number in 2026?
Well, the fun thing is, as I'm looking at it on Over the Cap, and you can do this too, ladies and gentlemen, he has a $16 million roster bonus.
Let's
move that over as soon as possible. He's got the 2026 year is his most guaranteed money year of the contract, as I understand it. And of course, it's the largest cap hit, which is why you're bringing it up.
That's a big number for a guy who had 5.5 sacks last year. I feel like you have to
He was excellent.
You got to be like a 10 sack guy to make that kind of dough.
Correct. And as we see what happens with TJ Watt. Yeah, it would behoove Chris Jones to have an excellent season. But yeah, I would as much money as you could chunk over, move that thing over. I don't think you want to necessarily rip up the contract. And
no, because the final year you can eat and it's not a problem. It's correct. $9 million in dead cap. It's
yes,
not bad.
And 30 and crazy 35 in savings. Mm. So as I understand it, you want to convert as much of that over as you can. You might say, hey, you know, are you, and this is important. He has to be healthy by the time you do this too, right? So are you converting this money in like December or are you doing it in March? That's sort of the question of the two that you can, you know, the two checkpoints you could have in this. Given his age, you probably want to do it if he's fully healthy, if he gets through the season and he's good. But I could understand like, hey, if it's December and we're looking at these Trent McDuffie cornerback deals and we know we're going to need that money anyway. Well, you might just say, hey, can we cut you a check today as an early Christmas present? Can we just cut you a check for salary cap purposes? And that's kind of why the contract was built the way it was built, because it assured Chris that he was more than likely going to be on the roster in 2026 and 2027. Because I know you know this too, Cody, if you look at those dead cap savings, they're virtually identical in year four, which is really, really hard to do, but that explains how valuable you are to the team.
Fair enough. I mean, look, I think a lot of it just comes down to whether or not he is still the level, like with player and bloated contracts like that, it's pretty simple in the NFL.
Yes.
If you are still playing at that level, they will pay it to you. If you are not, they won't. Yep. Which is why I think you've been told the same thing I've been told by agents before, which is we know how contracts work in the NFL. 3 years or two. A 3-year deal is a 2-year deal. A 4-year deal is a 2-year deal.
Yep.
And then a 5-year deal is a 3-year deal. But, you know, 3's all we're going to give you. And then 4 and 5, those are called earned years.
Yes, yes.
Better still be producing at the level that we anticipate, mm-hmm. or we will find other players who will.
Yeah, or we can squeeze you in a sense and say, hey.
Yeah, say take less.
Take less, or we're cutting you. And, you know, we don't like having those conversations, mm-hmm. but those contracts are built in place to where we can have those conversations. And if your agent, you know, is sniffing around and doesn't like what he's what he's smelling on the potential of you being a free agent, then you might say, okay, let's take less and let's at least get one more year out of this contract.
Your thoughts on the Diddy verdict today? Or no, we don't. Drew's telling me we don't have enough time. Actually,
we
don't,
get to a break.
We don't have enough time.
Unless you want to stay,
we do not.
You can
have
give
enough
it to
time.
Us on the break.
Darn, Nate. I would have loved the breakdown. We just ran out of time. Yeah, thank you, Nate Taylor from The Athletic, our Chiefs insider.
Happy 4th of July, kids.
Up next, we'll get to what's trending.